Hi, welcome. I'm Tommy Holst, and this is the Dropcast Movie Poster Podcast Release Edition. This format is part of the Instagram blog Drop, and you can find us under @DropMagOfficial. We do reviews, news, and interviews that all have to do with the film business. In this release edition, I will have a chat with the incredible and not often enough commissioned Vance Kelly for his Bride of Frankenstein with Bottleneck Gallery and Vice Press News. Later, we will have James and I talk about some other great releases that happened the last couple weeks, so check that out as well. There are some gems in there for you. So stay tuned, head over to our Instagram profile @DropMagOfficial to follow along with the art we're talking about, or check us out on YouTube for the video version. So now, welcome, Mr. Vance Kelly. How are you doing, sir?
Fine. How are you? Good morning.
I'm pretty good. Yeah, we had a little chat before, so that's always fun. And there's so much more to explore. So I'm going to tell the people right away, we are going to have a full-on interview with Vance Kelly later this year. So don't miss out on that, because this man has a lot to say and some very, very good things to say.
Appreciate it. Forward to it as well.
Yeah, me too, man. People, I'm telling you right now, we just talked like 15, 20 minutes or so before, and there was so much good stuff, so much I want to dig into. But yeah, I'll keep that for the long interview one. But today we're going to talk, as I mentioned, about The Bride of Frankenstein, which is a really, really cool release by you for Bottleneck and Vice Press, as I said. And yeah, The Bride of Frankenstein comes in two versions, and one version is this regular one, which is a printed version. I don't know the paper. Do you know the paper?
I think it was like Real Gray, okay, or something close to that. I'm not sure who the paper manufacturer was.
Okay, so. But yeah, it's printed on this paper. It's 24 by 36 inches, and it's a hand-numbered edition of 175. And then we have also a very cool glow-in-the-dark version with the same dimensions, but it has this really cool glow-in-the-dark layer, and the hand-numbered edition is 100. But what is more interesting here is how did you guys, by guys I mean Bottleneck and Vice President, how did you get together with them? How did this commission happen?
I talked to Joe over in New York Comic Con a couple of years ago. Super nice guy, and we get along, and we'd always been wanting to work on something together, and this was our first chance. So, and it was just really cool, and I appreciated him, you know, just offering me The Bride, because the Universal Monsters, who doesn't love those, and especially The Bride. I mean, that performance by Also is just amazing. So,
would you say this is your favorite of the Universal Monsters, this film, or do you have another favorite?
She's my top two. The Creature from the Black Lagoon is my absolute favorite. But I think that scared me the most out of most Universal Monsters. I love the werewolf, obviously. But the creature, though, he's got to be number one. But Elsa's, that's a high number two. They're close.
Okay. And yeah, this project, so you talked to him and then they just offered it to you? Or was it, or did you had like ideas before to do this? Or
We were working on a couple other things that we want to get together on. And Ride just happened first.
Okay.
And so that's where we went. And then actually, I haven't had the pleasure to meet the guys from Vice Press yet. Mm-hmm. So, Joe I've met and talked with.
Yeah, they're good. They're good people. I can tell you that. We always like. I have the open channel with Matt Ferguson and James Henshaw, and we always get together very frequently. And like our collaborator is also Flory. So like a couple artists in there. So they're really good guys. I can tell you that.
I know of everybody, obviously. I just haven't had the pleasure to meet
them. You will probably at somewhere down the line, when the Comic Cons are happening again and stuff like that, or if you come over to Thought Bubble.
I can't wait for Comic Cons to come back. I know it's going to be a while, but I'm glad. You know, I'll sacrifice whatever we need to make sure everybody's safe and keep everybody healthy as we can. But I would definitely looking forward to the day when we get back to doing those. Those are some of my favorite experiences.
Would you say that that you more of a con guy, or you more of a like put out on online gallery stuff guy?
I live in New Orleans, so I don't actually get out a lot. But so the cons are my favorite. I do love those, and I post those for them. But But just due to, you know, me being a hermit down here in the South, it's just easier to do the online releases with people.
Yeah, I also have to say that it's like really, really weird you'll be in New Orleans, because most of the time it's either somewhere in England or it's the West Coast or the East Coast. There's nothing in between.
Never in between. There's a couple guys here, and then obviously the Canadian crew, and like all over the world actually. Like, but no, in the States though. I think the closest guy is probably a couple hours away, and then there's like, you know, a bunch of good posts of several talented people from Houston, which is like about 6 hours from there, so.
Yeah, okay, I see.
It's a bit lonely here in the South in the post.
Is there a reason? Because like those are the major hubs and the galleries are there, or?
I think so, but I mean, like, you know, there's probably artists from other parts of the world, like even smaller cities that, you know.
That's true.
But it's usually more common just on the East Coast, just because I guess population sizes and people living out there, and New Orleans and South with the humidity, it takes a special kind of breed to live here, and not everybody likes the humidity, so it's not good for the paper, the posters, and the ink, anything, you know, like that. So
okay.
You know, they're always curling, so I'm gonna have to keep them flat. So
okay, I see. But you collect as well, right?
I do.
Okay, perfect.
I don't have a huge collection, but you know, I have my favorites and. There's a few more I'm after, so and then somebody's sitting on an Anson Logan's run for me right now.
Okay,
so.
I see. Yeah, well, let's look into that when we do the full interview, because I'm excited what you have in your collection. But yeah, coming back to the Bride of Frankenstein, can you walk us through the process of how you came from the first concepts to what you finally released?
I used to do, well, I work almost completely 100% digital. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's just the way that it works. And then since Wacom came out with the Cintiq, that's been a game changer for many years now. But so used to, my process would be to do thumbnail sketches or lots of sketching. But I use a sketch in Photoshop. And so I'll sketch a few elements that I know I would like to include. Mm-hmm. And then I do a lot of like, almost like collage work. So I'll take my sketches, I'll bring them into layers, and I'll kind of lay it out and see what fits where. Mm-hmm. And obviously with the bride, it's going to take front and center.
Yeah.
But I was really happy to be able to include Frankenstein and Pretorius and Dr. Frankenstein at the bottom.
But that's also done digitally, right? Or
yeah, actually, I used a pencil tool.
Okay, okay, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just start sketching there. And then and I'll just get loose and fast, whatever, and then I'll tighten up. I think I gave you like one of the tighter, like when I was happy with where the concept was.
Yeah, the rough sketch, I think you called it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I kind of wanted to build on.
Yeah, and what was the next step? Was the next step the key line you did, or what?
I think I did some more arranging in size, and then just seeing what fit it where, whatever, and then I'll just drop in like a copy of the logo and kind of where I want to build around that. A lot of other people are actually really great designers in our industry, and they designed the type around, and I'm more of an illustrator. So, you know, the first thing I want to do is get in there and draw. So the pencil sketch first, and then once I kind of got everything arranged where I wanted to, then key line. Mm-hmm. And then once the key line's in there, I'll get in and start shading. And then sometimes I just get really impatient, so I want to see what it looks like. So a lot of times I'll go in and do like a really fast, loose color job just to see what I want. And then the bride, though, I had thought about doing a really, you know, like going like Basil Gogos or something and doing like a lot of poppy mm-hmm. color. But at the end of the day, I really wanted to get in there and just kind of like sketch and draw and just wanted to keep the black and white feel, you know, because I thought, to me, just for what I wanted to do for this particular piece, I just wanted to keep it close to the film.
Yeah. When did you decide, like, for example, in stage two, you put a lot of background stuff in there, basically, which you can see. When did you decide to do that? Or was there a certain reason to do that?
So we're talking about like the framework and everything and like the components.
Yeah, I would say like, it's in stage two, like comparing stage two to stage one.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Once I got the bride and everything in there, I wanted to add some background in there. And like a lot of times with posters, like I feel the need just to fill up the whole area. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want any empty space, whatever. So that's actually a constant struggle and fight. It's like, all right, leave some empty space. So I'm like, you know, I'll go like with Mooka and like just do like some generic shapes, whatever, and then throw in some background elements just to kind of give some flourish and a little bit of border and boundaries. And so the artwork doesn't actually, so there's a little bit more design to it that way. And that's where I went. I think I answered the question. Sorry.
You did. No worries. I just wonder on what you decide like to put there. Basically, I mean, you have the moon in there to a certain way, and you have the lights also in the background. And do you think you take it from like when you watch the movie? You probably have like how many times do you watch the movie?
I had to rewatch it again just to freshen up, and I've seen it many times over the years. But you just remember bits and pieces, mm-hmm. you know, after a few years, mm-hmm. especially when you start getting my age, memory starts to go. But I love the lab and the sets, and like when Frankenstein's crawling around the graveyard, and like I almost wanted to go that route, and just because the atmosphere they built the sets, because I believe at that time they were still building out their sets, like they were doing like a really expensive play or the backdrops and stuff like that. But the lab is just so great. Like what they built, you know, with the lightning and the arcs and the testicles and whatever else was in there. And it was super neat. So I just want to include some of that. And the nice geographical shapes, the disc shapes, whatever, felt nice.
Yeah. Is that you go off, for example, from a certain scene that you see and like put that in there especially? Because, or do you take different parts from the movie that you like and put it in there and make it like a concept that works?
It actually depends. Sometimes I'll just want to do one particular scene that just really stands out. And then a lot of times I'll want to incorporate like I want to tell the whole story in one image. Mm-hmm. And then and sometimes they're just like, you know, like if it's like this piece, you know, with a bit more of a border and design, I just want to incorporate elements. And the lab scene, that's just the way it started progressing naturally in my brain.
Mm, okay. And, how much time did it take to finish the whole thing, like from start to finish, basically from the first pencil stroke you took to?
Well, usually the pencil stroke, whatever, and then I'll send that over to Joe and those guys. I get approved with the house, whatever, and so that usually takes a little, like, you know, sometimes it takes anywhere from a couple of days to like weeks, whenever they can get back to you.
And your just the work process and
my work process usually. I've knocked out posters within a weekend, like 1 or 2 days. And then sometimes it's been 3 weeks, but 2 to 3 weeks is my norm. And then I've had some that just took forever.
Is that because of the details and your perfectionist you are, I guess?
I'd like to say I'm a perfectionist, but there's a lot of, it's always a learning process, but sometimes you change your mind. Like, mm-hmm. Like you have an idea in your head that you want to put down and you start working in it. And then sometimes something you think is going to be like super easy and that's just really going to work easy there, and like, no, that didn't work at all. And so it's always, you know, like problem solving and you know, puzzles and seeing what fits where. And some pieces come together really, really fast, especially if you're inspired, and they just kind of move along. And then sometimes you're really lucky that your first inclination and your first drawing, whatever, you're just there. That was it. And that was the magic. That was the lightning in the bottle. And then you have some pieces that just take a lot of work and take a lot more effort and like elbow grease, and you really got to go in there and kind of hurt your will. But this one came together pretty easy, because I mean, like I've drawn The Bride many times in my life, you know, it's like she was such a cool character. And then like in the early 90s, when Coop and everybody were doing pinups, I loved seeing Coop's pinup of like, you know, The Bride of Frankenstein. He used to do her all the time. And so, but for this piece, I miss kind of working in pencil, and I love pencil sketching. Mm-hmm. I remember it was a couple years ago, like when I first started doing stuff with the Hero Complex Gallery and like Maddie and Kevin and Marco and all those guys, and seeing how they work with pencil and dissolve. Mm-hmm. And so you can actually really replicate that pencil lines or sketch in printing now. And I think Jason Edmondson comes in there somewhere, because he learned how to set, you know, whatever. Yeah. And so I'm always evolving and changing styles, just depending on what you kind of feel like. So sometimes you feel like you want to do some charcoal pieces or something that replicates watercolor, or just something that's really strong pen and ink.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going off.
Did you learn that somewhere? Like, or was this is where you're coming from when you before you turned to digital?
So I grew up. I started like when I was in high school. It was in the 80s, way back when. I'm gonna age myself here, And I think desktop publishing was just coming around. So everything I learned, you know, how to do was I had some good friends of mine, and we would just sit there and absorb comic books all day. And the way that I loved it. And like, you know, so I learned how to use pencil and markers, whatever. And then I really got into Prismacolor and then gouache. And then I still love inking with a brush. Like every once in a while in a blue moon, I'll go throw some down on paper and just sit there and ink with a brush after I'm done. And it's just really cathartic. And So between Photoshop and a few of the other programs, I use Photoshop, that's what I started on, and Wacom, you can actually replicate those natural brushes. Mm. And then in the late 90s, when I started doing silkscreen artwork, I changed my style to be like working in Illustrator or something, to where it was like really clean lines, block colors, and not a lot of dissolve, because I didn't know how to separate them out for print. But these last few years have been really amazing. I've gotten to meet and speak with a lot of people in this field, and I've learned a lot, you know, just those conversations that we had. And the first time I figured out, you know, like, hey, just turn that brush to dissolve. I'm like, say what? And they're like, yeah, you can actually get in there. I'm like, just blew my mind. And then what they were doing, whatever. And so I definitely learned from my peers. And there's a lot of great, and especially in the poster world, so many of my favorite artists. Like, and I'm just amazed at what I see daily. Like, you know, some of these kids come up with, and I say kids, there's maybe one or two guys are about as old as I am, but everybody else is pretty young. And I'm like, if I had that talent back then, I'm like,
come on,
wow.
You don't look that old. So don't make you old.
I appreciate it, man. I'm Peter Pan.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you're not Benjamin Button, you're good.
Oh, you're right. I don't want to age, but no.
Because I was like, when it comes to pencil sketching, you know, I always take a look over to Craig Ruth. I had on the show as well, and he just put out this Doctor Strange, which will be also later on, which will James and I talk about it. He had his private commission for Doctor Strange, and like the way he draws with a pencil, those kind of flames and smokes that go up. How? I don't know.
I've had a few people I follow on Instagram and whatnot, and definitely through the years, just watching some people work with pencils. Some people are just masters. Yeah. I wind up laying pencil lead all over my hand. I smear all over the paper, But actually, the interview you have with Gaps, and him and his brother, Christoph. Yeah. Christoph, is that right?
Yeah, Christoph.
Mm-hmm. All right, forgive me if I mispronounced it, buddy. But the way those guys work, and they'll pencil sketch, and they'll scan in, like just looking at their pencils, dude, just amazing.
It's crazy, right?
And then... And then at the conventions, like if I'm sitting at the table next to some of the other guys and watching them just draw and work in markers and stuff, I'm like, bastards, you can do it in like just everywhere. So I love it. So
that's great. One important question, because you sold out very quick, and will they,
like, thank you, why do you actually bought a poster? That's sorry, but yes, thank you, everyone. So
it's like the glow in the dark variant was like gone in a minute, so that was like turned out well. But
that's the glow in the dark, man. Yeah, I love glow in the dark.
Yeah, man. So. Will there be APs though in the future? Are you selling them? How are people going to get them?
I haven't got them yet. I should be getting them pretty soon, and then as soon as I do, I'll either post on Instagram, Facebook, or my fan guys on Facebook, which. Hi guys, if you're watching, and girls,
we'll post it there definitely, so people they will see it.
I appreciate it. I'll hit you up soon. So, I'm sorry I don't have the information now, but it should be pretty soon now.
Okay, perfect. Before we're gonna go, I want a short movie review of The Bride of Frankenstein. What did you like? What didn't you like? And how would you rate the movie in on a scale from 0 to 10?
0 to 10, all right, it's going to come up there in the 8s or 9s, only because at the time it was groundbreaking, those films they're making. And the fact that they're giving props to Mary Shelley and everything, I absolutely love the sets they built. And then they're working with black and white. And this is, they're still in a world of color, but they're building everything with high contrast. And it's just, and it's a great story. I mean, like, you know, like the part, the morality they get into, you know, like man playing God and all that, it goes really deep. So I love that aspect of it. I love the makeup, and I love that they don't show the bride to like the very end. Mm. And then it's mostly just her and her reactions. The performance are great. The sets, I'm all about the sets, man. Like those guys, you know, like what they built. And like, I was looking at like the explosions and the fire they had on set. Like, I'm not sure their fire protocols or what we have today. I was like, that's ballsy. I mean, like,
I don't know. I forgot which movie it was. I think it was The Wizard of Oz. Where some person actually died from the stunt, because like in like terms of like the materials or whatever they used, because like it was like some acid thing like they painted on, it's like crazy stuff.
I should go. I think I remember hearing something like that. I have to go back and read. But yeah, no, that's really unfortunate. But I was just watching some of the stunts just on the Friday. I was like. That's pretty crazy. I'm pretty sure, like, I don't think, you know, like, their union was there with the fire extinguishers or whatever. But
which union? But no, which union?
Right? I don't know. Like, you know, like, the fire brigade there? Were they still putting them out with pails? What do we have? Yeah. So that was great. Like the only thing, like the only thing that I would say thumbs down about the story, like I actually love the character of Dr. Pretorius, mm-hmm. but the little miniatures, like the king's queen, like, and like the little munchkin voices they had, I'm like, I'm not sure exactly where that fit in the story, but whatever.
But yeah, great. No, is there something you didn't like about the movies? Like something like, why did they have to use this or that in the movie? Or
anything I can point out, I felt bad for old Frankenstein there, okay. Man. This guy just wanted to have a drink and make some friends, and these damn villagers kept coming at him with pitchforks and fire. So, but I remember the first Frankenstein story made me sad when I was a kid, you know, like especially with the little girl and stuff like that. So, but no, overall, man, just for the time period and the film and I think the story they were trying to tell. And however, I'm really envious how everyone could roll their R's in their production. Apparently, everyone that was, you know, in the first couple of scenes, especially the guy who played Lord Byron, was just in there rolling the R's. I'm like, what? Can't do it.
I used to have Russian in school, so I know how to roll an R.
Oh, dude. All right. So all my friends overseas, sorry, man. Just like this doesn't work, man. I got that southern drawl and speak fast. So this is a handicap, but I'll try.
Exactly. Okay, Vance, thank you so much for coming on and talking about your beautiful Bride of Frankenstein piece. And we will, as I said, we will have you on for the full-on interview version. And I hit you up on Instagram. I put like the tagged you everywhere and where people can find you and your store, obviously. And so people get in touch, follow this man, some really great art in the future, and can't wait for our long talk.
Yes. Tom, thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it. This was a blast, and I really look forward to our next one. And thanks for keeping the love out there for posters and all the other guys who
thank you.
Girls like me. So yeah. We appreciate it. It's great, Tom.
Thank you so much, man. And now we will get over, and I'll say hello to James in a second, and we will talk about the releases. So, James, what's up, man?
I am good. I am positive, and I'm good.
I just liked your head moving. I thought you were going to be like a hair commercial. Throw your hair around. It a little bit looked like it.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm only good. Like, I'm getting annoyed about lockdown hair.
Lockdown hair, okay. Hair. But I don't know. Maybe you could change it up. Take the clippers.
It's tempting at this point. It's tempting. And I've talked to people and they've said, like, when you do that, you get a bit of an identity crisis. So that's
what? When you want to do that, or if when you're after?
Like when they've done that, like when they've shaved mm-hmm. it, they're like, yeah, you get. It was Keir, like from More mm-hmm. Art. He said, like when he did that, he got a bit of an identity crisis.
Okay.
So that's kind of put me off.
Yeah, now. Understandable. But I want to get some hair. My hair's so long. My students made fun of me, so thank you for that, students. But.
They want to see my.
It's okay. You look good. It's the messy look, you know. That is a look actually. Oh,
thank you, Tom. So, yeah. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, it's a messy look.
I thought that's what you were going for.
That's totally what I'm going for.
Okay. Let's get into some stuff we are like to go for or we have gone for. And this are the release of the week. And we had Vance Kelly on earlier. And he's a good dude. I have to say that to people, the interview portion basically was just about 25 minutes or so, and we talked. Vance and I we talked for almost 3 hours total. So it's like there's a lot of stuff going on. He's a really good dude, and yeah, we're gonna have a full on interview as I mentioned before in the future. So look out for that. But our first release of this release cycle is. The Dream Will End by Nicholas Delord, which is a screen print by Bottleneck. It's 24 by 36 inches and hand-numbered edition of 135. It was $70 and it was sold out super quick. And Nico Delord, he's the guy to go for. And I think it looks really cool. I'm not a big Zelda Link guy, I guess. And so it wasn't for me, but it looks very fantastical. And is that the right adjective I use here?
No, not really.
What would you say? It's very fantasy.
No, you didn't say that.
Fantastic? Either. It's very fantastic. Is that the word?
It's fantastic. I guess you say it's fantastic.
But it's just so weird.
Fantastical is a thing.
But because like, when you say, oh, the staff is fantastic, you know? It's like, it's very great, you know?
Yeah. No, I think you say fantastic. But yeah, it is also fantastic, I think.
Yeah, okay.
In both.
Yeah, in it's both it's for a foreign language speaker. It's like, you know, it's like weird.
Sorry, we make it tough.
It's all right. It's all right. But yeah, this is not all that Mr. Delord gave us. He also gave us a variant. And yeah, James, what's that? What's that all about?
This one's 12 by 16. It's a really small edition of just 50. Black and white. It's the kind of stuff that I really like from Nikko. Mm-hmm. The like highly etched style.
Yeah, me too.
This one was $40. Screen print again.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I was going to go for it, I'd probably go for this
I was
one.
Wondering, is that basically cropped? Because it's not the same, is it?
It
looks
know.
Different. Maybe. It looks different when you look at it. The other one looks more elongated.
Yeah.
The regular version.
I guess the ratio is just slightly different. You've got 24 by 36, which is standard, you know, large poster style. And then I guess if they're going to do a small one, 12 by 16 is a more popular style when it's smaller.
Yeah.
More popular ratio when it's smaller. So I guess it made sense to do that, to do a crop.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it still works.
It does. I think it looks better. My opinion, it looks better. But
yeah, it brings the egg more into focus, doesn't
it? It does. And also, like, it doesn't feel as, like, big in a sort of sense. It's more like... more like a shrine kind of thing. The other one is more like a mountain, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. The other one's more fantastic.
thank you.
Epic, like it kind of feels, they both kind of feel epic, yeah. But yeah, you know what we're saying, we've said
exactly.
It, really.
There it is, people. don't add us.
You'll have to get used to us.
But by the way, but speaking about murdering, because we are going to have a Jack U sprint again, and he was very amused about our last review we did. Was it Mary Poppins? So we have to do better this time.
sorry, Jack. It was just I don't know that much about Mary Poppins.
Yeah, he's a nice dude. He's a nice dude. But I'm gonna.
He is a very nice guy.
We're gonna talk about Saint Maud. I'm gonna take it like a little teaser here, but it's gonna come up. But right now we're gonna go over to the world of rock and roll. Is that rock and roll? Kiss? Is that rock or just rock? I don't know. I'm not a big rock and roll guy.
I'd say Kiss are kind of like rock and
is that
roll.
Metal? Is that metal?
There's a bit of theater. Yeah. There's a bit of theatre in that, so I reckon that brings the role.
The role, okay. I'll take it. And this is by Dan Mumford. It's a screen print, 18 by 24 inches, and a hand numbered edition, 150 on his regular version. And there is also a variant in his typical style, of course, changing up the Dan Mumford colors. This is the hand numbered edition of 100, also same size. And then last but not least, also 100 number edition of 100 is a foil version, I think, which is my favorite from the three. Same for you, James, or?
Yeah, same.
That's good. Are you a Kiss fan? Are you a rock and roll fan? Or would you hang? Like, are you a gig poster guy? Because there's a lot of gig poster guys, and Bottleneck is doing that more and more. Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not really a gig poster guy. A lot of the gig posters are usually for metal bands. You kind of get some rock bands as well, but especially with Dan, he does a lot of metal posters. And that's where kind of like foil seems to have come from. It seems like whenever there's a kind of big band that will put out a gig poster, I think that's where like the foil, they usually do a foil variant.
Interesting.
It's like with Luke Preece, he's done a lot of like Metallica stuff. And you know, he's really into his foils, and that I believe that comes from that.
I wonder, by the way, if Matt Ferguson is going to do some gig posters, because he's a big music guy. He has records, and he used to work in record stores. So, where are the posters, Matt?
He's too busy with Star Wars.
That's true.
And Disney, Marvel.
Yeah,
you know, he hasn't got time.
Okay, moving on. What else do we have in store?
Some guy called Matt Griffin.
Oh, this dude.
Yeah, this dude.
The sci-fi dude, or what are they called? The Dune dude.
The Dune dude. Griffin the Dune dude. Yeah. He has brought out, or Bottleneck has brought out, his amazing artwork from the Dune book as GK Prince. We have home to the Siege. I haven't read Dune, so please.
Stone's coming. Stone's coming your way.
Siege. I haven't seen the movie either. So it's a 20x16 piece, hand numbered edition of 150 at 45. And there were other artworks as well. Tom, if you
want to talk through them. Of course I will. And the next one that comes up is the Shai Hulud. And you can see a big freaking sandworm in there. And I think, is it Paul in there? I'm not sure. I think it should be Paul from illustration there. And the world and also desert is seen there. Really cool looking. Also a G clay print, also 20x16 and a hand number edition of 150. And yeah, it's sold out. But Matt might have some APs, he told me. So yeah, check that out.
Yes.
And then the last one is what, James?
Chennai or Chennai?
I think it's Chani.
Yeah, sorry. I have no clue. A GK print again. This one's 24x12. Hand number edition again of 150 at 45. I actually helped out a tiny amount on this one, and I'm looking for some royalties.
Okay, let's hear it. What did you do?
I drew it for him. No. because the ratio on that one was like quite long from the book, to get it at like a regular kind of poster size to be framed, I suggested putting the text at the bottom to kind of fill it out with a border.
Such a clever lad.
The money, like, I think that's about like 5% of the entire picture there. So I'm looking for 5% royalties.
We're taking it on picture percentages. Okay, Matt, you heard the man. He's in dire need of money. So
I am in dire need of money.
But yeah, this is also a great piece in this little trio of prints. And yeah, Matt, I was on with Matt for the Goblin Spit, which was fun. You were there, James. And if you like life drawing and world building is something you should look into. There's a Facebook group also, at Matt's Facebook group as well. So get over there and check it out. And be part of something great, maybe.
It's cool.
Moving on to our print of the week. I mentioned it already. It's Bride of Frankenstein. I'm just going to show it here for a sec here. The Vance Kelly Bride of Frankenstein, and also the Glow in the Dark layer released by Bottleneck and Vice Press. That's a co-release, so that was really interesting. And now we are moving on to the great Mark Chilcott. And Mark Chilcott had four prints actually this week, and this is one of them, and it's a Star Wars series, landscapes of Star Wars basically. It's called Mustafa Takeoff, and it's a G clay print, 24x14 inches, hand numbered edition of 125, looking really cool. I think this one, I don't know, last time I checked this one was still available. I don't know if it's still anymore. I think it's the best one out of all of them, but okay.
Yeah, I love seeing representations of Mustafa.
Yeah, Mustafa's great. I mean, in the VR game, Vader Immortal, it was you could have seen this, and this was really great. And I did also when I was in London, basically my I think it was back then my Christmas present, and I got the Void experience. And it was in London, and at the mall they built the whole thing, and you get like this ghost Buster's proton pack kind of thing on your back, and have like a gun and get VR goggles on, and then you walk through a room, and they had some heat going on and some fans, and they had like even smells, so it smelled like sulfur and stuff like that. You land there right there in front of the castle, and then you're basically standing on one thing, and it feels like you're moving up. Like they have like a platform which you go up with, and you can like right beneath the lava, and you can feel that. And it's like really great.
That sounds cool. Where is that?
It was in London. It was like for like a couple months, 2 years ago or so, in February I was there, and you had to get like a date in advance. It was like really, really cool though. But nice. Definitely worth
I'm surprised it. That was still available. Like I guess the cast was only featured in like Rogue One, isn't it, in terms of the films?
Yeah, I think so.
People might like, I don't know, casual fans might be like, I don't know what that is. It's not in any of the films.
Come on. Look, I know. Look at the next one.
I'm looking at the next one.
Yeah, you tell me about the next one.
So it's called Solo Standoff.
Yeah, and from which movie is that one?
Solo? I don't.
Yeah, man, it's from Solo.
Yeah, people seem to love Solo though. All of a sudden, it seems to be one that people
than,
are like
more than Rogue One. Come on.
Nah, Rogue One's a fave, isn't
and
it?
And see, that's why that's my point here. Mustafa should have been sold out.
I get you. But same again, 24x14, an edition of $125 at $45.
That's right. And if you really like this piece, you should go over to Moore Art Gallery and check out Bella Grace's beautiful Space Trooper, which would go perfectly with this one. Don't you say?
It would. Okay. I would say that. But also, I would say that.
There you go. There you have it, people. Okay, moving on to the next landscape, which is Tatooine. Of course, you got the land speeder, Luke's land speeder in there. Got the Skywalker homestead. No, it's the Owen farm. I'm sorry. Not the Skywalker homestead. And it's called Tatooine Cruise. Also Giclée print, same size, 24x14. And hand number additional 125. And then, last but not least, we're going to Return of the Jedi.
On Endor. Endor Patrol, Giclée print again, 24x14, $125 and $45. Yeah. That's really cool. It's quite detailed.
Yeah, I like the forest in this kind of, like that the forest plays the main part here. I like that. And I think it would go well with Jock's Return of the Jedi.
True. I think this is probably my favorite. I think it's really clever putting the bike like towards the edge of the frame. So if it's a photo and it's going so fast, like if you're taking a picture of it, you'd be like, oh, damn, it's going so fast that I almost missed it. I really like that.
Yeah. Which one we also liked before on a release podcast is The Mind of a Child. And The Mind of a Child is by Todd Slater, and he did Quill before. And these prints come in different variation. The main focus of the print is always the same. It has the child, obviously. And this is the Opal edition, which is a screen print on opal paper and 12x12 inches. And this is a hand number edition of 125. Then we have the next one is the Onyx one, exactly, which has like very dark. I think I like this one the most, though, I have to say, with the dark frame or the opal one. And then we have this one was a hand number edition of 100. And the next one is 75, which is the Fairway edition. And then we have a Fine Gold edition, which is also 75 hand numbered edition, and the last ones are also has been a hand numbered edition of 50 each, and this one is Sapphire and Jupiter. Which one is your favorite color wise?
I don't know. Probably the Opal edition. There's something about that I quite like.
The Opal edition. Okay, I think I like this one too. Yeah. Okay, what's our next one? We still have Star Wars here.
Wow. Star Wars prints. There's so many Star Wars prints. this one is by Melvin Magu.
Magu.
Is that correct?
Yeah, one? I think that's correct. You've spoken to him. That's what he said. And he's a good dude. I also have to say something. Yeah. Let's introduce the print first.
This is called Dark Side. A screen print, 24x36. And this is in an edition of 175 at $50. Is that correct? Yeah, $50. Mm. And there's also a variant as well on foil.
I really like the variant version of this one, and with the just pulled it up and with the basically foiled version of all the lights in the background. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. My one thing is that I really like the little details of the red in the regular. Yeah. And I kind of wish they'd added another screen to just add the little red bits to the foil as well. Mm-hmm. That would have been nice for me.
I know what you're saying.
Might have actually sold it to me. I might have tried for that, but yeah. It was really limited anyway, and I think it just went like straight away.
Yeah, and he told me a couple bits about it, and yeah, Melvin's a good guy, and he told me that this piece was done in July 19. And so it's been a minute, a year and a half ago, and it took like this time only to get like a preliminary version, and then it's like this most elaborate file, which was like 1.5 gig with over 200 layers and stuff like that, and he used 7 different softwares, including 3D software, to get what he wanted, and and he told me that the background was a total nightmare, like to complete, and his girlfriend even helped him, and otherwise he would still be doing it. So, and yeah, the silver foil variant only appears through the spotlights there to mimic the blinking effect, and both block titles are printed using different metallic gold. So that's also a good fun fact there.
Nice.
Really cool piece. Malvin, he's doing some cool stuff. I can't wait for his next project, because I also liked his IG-11 and the child print, which was really cool. And yeah, liking it. Next one is also a well-known guy and a really liked guy. We talked about him earlier. And it's Jock. He put out the Batman Who Laughs #1 cover, and the Batman Who Laughs is really cool. I really like the comics of that. And this is a lenticular 3D print by Jock, 1mm PET lenticular, and it's 16x24 inches, and it includes a hand-numbered certificate of authentication for BNG, and got the hologram on there as well. And it was an edition of 125, or is an edition of 125, and was available for $50, which I think is a good price, I have to say. This one looks really cool, but it's like still scary though. Would you hang it up?
No, because it's a lenticular.
Oh god, hating on the lenticular here. But if it wasn't,
maybe it might be something that I'd put up now and again.
Okay,
like it'd be a good one to put up around Halloween, wouldn't it?
That's true. Yeah, the partner wouldn't want to wake up to that in the bedroom, I guess.
True, partner. I can dream.
Come on. Don't dream here. Okay. The next one.
We've got another superhero based poster.
DC.
This one.
In the house.
DC representing. I'm a Marvel fan.
By the way, I'm sorry.
Everyone loves Superman.
Speaking of Joker for a second and having Superman up now. Did you see the new photos of Jared Leto as a Joker?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Well, he doesn't look too healthy.
Did you see the mashups of like him and the Exorcist girl? No. That was so fun. I was laughing so hard. It looks exactly like it.
But yeah, it's intriguing. The whole Snyder Cut thing is certainly intriguing.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Zack Snyder fan, but
it's probably gonna be shit. Who knows?
Who knows? Like, it. I don't know. We'll see.
I'll watch it. It's okay.
Yeah, I am intrigued enough to actually watch it.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. Yeah.
So, this one, Superman by Leonard Willoughby. Tell us more, my friend.
I will tell you more. It's a screen print, and it's 24x36 in a hand-numbered edition of 150 at $50.
A pump.
Yeah, a pop. $50 a pop, mate. Do you want one? Yeah, go on.
And for just $10 more, you get the foil variant. Lyndon Willoughby.
That is a great upsell. Joe needs to employ you.
Lyndon Willoughby is Joe from Bottleneck, that is, people. Lyndon Willoughby, great artist. That's not the only PC you will see today. This is the foil edition. It's a head-numbered edition of 50. And also 24x36 inches. I like it. It's really cool. Also, not a big Superman fan, but my favorite Superman is though the Red Sun Superman. That's one of my favorite comics. The Doomsday one, and Red Sun.
There's something about this print. Originally, it was gonna have a white background. Mm-hmm. So
how do you know?
magic stuff, secret stuff that I can't tell you about.
Spill the beans.
Yeah, so it was... I actually kind of preferred the white one, but everyone went ahead with this. Lyndon went ahead with this. The clouds kind of like merged into the white background, mm-hmm. but you still saw the Batman, Superman symbol. Mm. But all I see in this now is if you look at the bottom of the logo, I see a little smiley face.
Yeah, I see.
All I can see.
It looks like Mega Man or something like that. Some sort of futuristic, you know.
It's like I can see the glass, like some kind of like shades on the right hand side.
Yeah, I see that.
And then like a little mouth.
Yeah. And the nose with the darker spot above it.
It was even more pronounced with the nose, and like Lyndon actually took something out so it didn't look like it had nostrils. But I think this is a really smart poster.
Keep it simple.
Absolutely. I think it's really cool. And I think Lyndon's like really developing into a pretty
household
special
name.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's good. And it's good that Bottleneck's like giving him a lot of work to kind of like.
Congratulations, by the way. He just announced that he's going to become a father.
Indeed.
Good on him, buddy. Good on you, dude. And you need to come on as well, Lyndon. So if you see this, let's talk soon. Okay, moving on to another Lyndon piece. Your turn, bud. Your turn.
It's my turn. The Shining.
The Shining.
Screen print, again, 36 by 24. Mm-hmm. This was an edition of 125 at $50 a pop.
Yep. Exactly, and going on, same size, and for just $10 more, you get a hand-numbered edition of 40 in The Shining colors. Quick question, why the blue? I didn't get the blue. Why was it the blue one? Lyndon, maybe you can elaborate on that in the comments, but if James doesn't know from his secrets not spilling group. Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, but I was wondering because I didn't get the idea of the blue because that's why I definitely like the variant way better because it's for just tells me with the colors so much shining itself, you know, and like all the little ideas and details there are really cool. I like how the hotel and the mountains and the forest there is like on the typewriter, which is really cool. And yeah, and obviously the font. Pretty great stuff.
Yeah, and if you guys can think of, it's the blue. It's kind of like the sky behind the mountains, maybe, and that it's like set in the cold, snowy snow. I don't know, but I agree. I think the yellow of all that mustard of the original with the original text is super nice, and that one sold out really quickly.
Super duper nice, I bet. Yeah. Goes fast. And yeah, this is it for Bottleneck today. And we're moving on to our other friends at Mondo. And Mondo put out a really interesting poster, which is American Psycho, screen printed poster by Craig Drake and printed by Lady Lazarus, 24 inches by 36 inches, edition of 275. I have to say there was some controversy around it. With Mr. Nagel, what was his name? Patrick Nagel?
Yeah, Patrick.
Yeah, people felt this one. I have to say it's not my type of style, I have to say that, but it's still a very cool print in terms of the colors that are used. I like the color palette here with those pastel tones and going along with kind of the idea of the what's it called? Of the card.
Business card.
Thank you. I just had the German name in my head, but it would be totally wrong if I say it.
Say it.
Visitenkarte.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Like, would it be like visiting card maybe or something like that? I don't know if you translate it. Something like that.
Here's my visiting card.
Yeah, well.
Now I'm gone.
Business card, yeah. So, yeah, I think that goes along very well. And the likeness of Christian Bale is really cool, I think. And that's what I liked about it. But, yeah, and eBay had lots of prints on. That was crazy. You know, people posted pictures on the fan groups with like 15, 20 different eBay sellers of this print. So that was like, I don't know, that's crazy. But I guess it is what it is. Yeah, moving on to our next thing, which is not a print, but some cool vinyl toy. Let's hear about that, James.
Oh, you've given me something that I don't really know that much about. But Pulgasauri?
Yeah, I would say so.
Red?
Pulgasauri. Pulgasauri Red.
Yeah, something mighty. Mm-hmm. It's about, I think it's an 8-inch soft vinyl figure. An edition of 100, and it's sculpted by Dope Pope.
The Dope
Pope. And painted by Hector Arche, or I'm not going to say what I was going to say, because it, I think it's, is it Arche?
let's put it this way. It's not Arce. Jesus, James. Why did you put it in my head? I wouldn't have thought about this. Oh, man. Yeah.
It has to be Arche, right?
Or Arche. Yeah.
Arche. Or Arche, not Arce.
No. Hector.
Maybe it is
Hector,
Arce.
Please let us know how to pronounce your name. And thank you very much.
Please don't be Arce about us mispronouncing it.
Oh, Jesus Christ, James. Wow.
But it's expected to ship in February.
So that's soon.
So not long.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty good.
Vinyl toys. I have a vinyl toy. I got the Mike Mitchell vinyl toy by Mondo. Good stuff. Only bad thing about this one, you have to position it just right and you cannot move it anymore because it's going to fall over. At least for me it does. But yeah, keeping it in the kaiju verse here. And this next print is one of our artists. I hope I'm going to interview tomorrow. No, on Friday. Not tomorrow, on Friday. This one is Son of Godzilla Linocut poster by Attack Peter. One color Linocut. Handmade locked up paper, printed, signed, and numbered by the artist himself. 20 inches by 30 inches is the whole thing. An edition of 120. And I don't know if it wasn't this one, but he did some extra cool stamping with a couple of them. He had like Son of Godzilla like swimming down underneath or something like that. That was some really cool stuff. I really enjoyed that. That's like remarked in a kind of way. And I think that adds so much value to the print. So check Attack Peter out. He's such a good guy. And he has a new studio, so there will be some new stuff coming soon. And I love his own kaiju series, which he's like created with the community as well. Also a community thing. Really cool stuff. Really enjoyed this one. Next one is
The Midnight Sky.
Midnight Sky.
Screen print by Max
Löffler.
Löffler.
Nicht Löffler. Not Löffler. It's Löffler. It's Löffler. Löffler. Max Löffler.
Thanks. You should have done this.
I know. I just wanted to see what you're going to do.
It's printed by DL for Mondo. 18 by 24 in an edition of 100. And that was $45, mate.
$45. Good price, I have to say. And I really enjoy this print. I love the colors in this one and like the whole color palette. And looking at this with the stars on top. And I have to say, I didn't like the movie, sadly. But I think the print is really well done, and it looks as amazing as the movie. The movie looked good, and the same as the movie here. So I have to say that enjoyed that. And really, really cool print. So check it out. I don't know if it's still available, because like last time, Max's print was still available. He did High Life for High Life with like cool plans and stuff like that, and like the space suit arm just in there, you know, grabbing, and that was really cool. And I love the film also as well in that year when it came out. And
the last time I looked, it was still available.
The Midnight Sky, or
I think that was Midnight Sky.
Yeah, people.
That might have been like 2 or 3 days ago.
It's
not
maybe
sure.
Not your favorite movie, but the print itself looks amazing. So
yeah,
check it out.
That's the thing. The artwork's awesome, isn't it?
It's better than a movie.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, which also is a great movie, is this one here, Saint Maud. This is a screenprint by Mr. Jack Hughes and also printed by DL Screen Printing, 24 inches by 36 inches, an edition of 175. This one probably sold out well, and this one is such a good print. I love it because I've seen the movie as well, and the movie was really cool. I like the religious aspect, the religious horror aspect in that movie, and getting there to be a saint in that sort of way, which is a cool idea for a horror flick, and how they did it, it was really well. And I love this one again with the colors and like how he breaks through. And I'm wondering, Jack, if you are watching this part, could you let us know in the comments if it's the same color for the background and like shining through that's used for the, what was it, Cherry Blossoms and the Mary Poppins one? I just wondered because it looked very familiar, and looks amazing to me. Love the title treatment there, and also love that the bottom, the credit block there. Very simple, very elegant, and beautiful colors. Your thoughts, James?
Superb. It's a film that I almost went to see in the cinema when the cinemas opened up, like briefly over in the UK. But I decided I would stay indoors and help control the virus and help the NHS and all that stuff.
But it's all video on demand, I think, is it?
It is now. Yeah. I was told the other day. So this is one that I definitely want to see, definitely want to check out. It has really good key art as well. Like, the whole campaign for this film, like the official campaign, was fantastic. They, I definitely want to see this. And it's a fantastic poster. Really love it.
All righty, there you have it. And now moving on to another fantastic poster, which is what, James?
It's Drive by Paul Mann.
You know about that poster, huh? Don't you?
I know about this poster. Yep. I was in the Mad Duck group, which kind of like kicked this off as a regular and a variant. So I don't know if you've got
what I've got both. I also put in because I seen on one of the groups or Mad Duck themselves or somebody posted the sketches. Sketch, that looks really cool, and I think also this is the a printed version of it,
original,
which looks really cool.
It's probably like original painting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's before, original painting. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, before typography was added in digital.
So,
the purple one is the regular. The run of that was 325. This is 24x36 screen print.
Yeah.
Printed by DL.
Yeah.
And then we have the variant.
Pulled it up.
Yes. And that one is 225 edition.
Yeah, looking really great. Paul Mann doing good work. Love the likeness, love the colors in this one, and love the also the way it was structured and like the concept of it. Really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, really nice. I grabbed both. I couldn't decide which one.
There you go.
Get, so I thought, I'll take a look in hand, and they're also super limited foil versions of each 25 of each colorway, which I wasn't quick enough to grab, but they'll be super nice. I think the lights in the city will be like the foil elements, and the Drive logo as well.
Nice. Alrighty, then we are done with all the gallery work, and now we're going to go over to the mostly digital stuff or just stuff that people put out themselves. And our first one is a newcomer in this hobby, and it's Nadeh Makhtaria, and she put out this wonderful Slave One print, which is like an architect way to look at this whole thing. And it got so many different or so many cool aspects in it. It got the Mandoai in there, got it also in English, so you can read at the bottom. If I can zoom in a little bit, it says it here. It's like I got a huge file of it, so it's like really hard to see. But the details are just amazing on this print. Like with they got the gyro sphere there going on, which is really cool, and like the different angles of this print. I think that would be really amazing. And there's also a burgundy version, which looks really cool. But I would love to. I think I would go with the black version because I like this the best. And I think all the architect, like she told me, her architect friends also really enjoyed it as well. And yeah, and she also did a blueprint version, like actual like on blue paper, like the classical way. So that looks all really, really great. And you know, I had a suggestion for her. I don't know if you if she told you or not, but I told her to make it a lenticular print, so you can basically when you hold up, listen to my approach here. When you look at it one way and you turn it the other, then the slave one would flip or something like that. You know, that you can see it from different angles. Or also an idea was at the bottom, have the 3D rendered models, only this part to be lenticular. And then, you know. Okay, you're not listening. I got it. Okay.
I think what would be cooler is to have the black version and use metallic inks and make it a lovely paper print.
Or just make it in Boba Fett colors, green, orange, gray.
That's true. I guess the red kind of like does that, doesn't it? Like the burgundy is kind of a part of...
Is it?
Yeah, I guess. I guess so.
But it's like just a tiny amount, I think. I'm not sure.
I'm sure he has burgundy on
it. Yeah, he does.
Like
he does
on the...
I think like also on the wristwatch, but on the bracers, Van bracers.
On his Casio, yeah. You know, he's like 1984 Casio. That's right.
Okay, thank you. That data was really great stuff. And yeah, moving on to 17th and Oak.
Back to the Future. This is awesome. I grabbed one of these.
Nice.
Yeah, really, really nice. It's an edition of 100 A3. Mm-hmm. It's a fine art sheet clay, 300 grams per square meter. And it's official. It's licensed as well. You can grab this from 17 Oaks.
Could you try again?
Yeah, sure. It's available from 17th and Oak, his website. So you can grab it straight from the artist.
Did he message you right away? Just basically saying, I didn't get that. Could you say that again? Some promotion, please.
No, Siri wants one, I think. She's seen on my phone that I ordered one, and I think she wants to grab one.
Okay. You should make it the background then.
I think that has to happen now.
There you go.
Siri says
yeah. Alrighty.
Yeah.
And the next one we have is also a friend of the podcast. It's Ben Terdick. I hope I pronounced it right. And he came up with this beautiful Batman Forever print, which is not for everyone, this movie especially. But the regular version, which is the black one, has a run of 35. And the variant, which comes with a white background, is a run of 15. And the white background also has some riddles in the back, because the Riddler, obviously. And it's a glow-in-the-dark layer, and you can see those riddles here, which is really cool. I think that's a really, really nice, let's call it gimmick maybe, but a way to like enhance the print in this way. And I really enjoyed this one. So it's a 24 by 36 inches, 9 colors print, and yeah. But I think they're all gone, right? Or is it still available, do you know?
Yeah, they're all sold out. It's a really, really small run. Yeah. Batman Forever is actually the first Batman film that I saw. Like, I got that on VHS.
All right.
When I was a kid.
Interesting.
So it's kind of, yeah, interesting introduction to Batman. I kind of like it. It's really like kooky and just over the top.
Yeah.
Like lots of neon and stuff.
Exactly.
But the print, I really love the print. I think it's a good use of glow in the dark.
Yeah.
Like to hide that.
I think so too. Yeah. So last but not least is what?
Mr. Greg Ruth.
He's done it again.
He's knocked it out of the park again with Doctor Strange. Yeah. So
we should call him Babe Ruth. See what I did there? See what I did there? Oh my God, Jesus.
I saw it.
But you, I saw it. I ignored it. And I didn't care. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
People, back me up in the comments. Stone, tag James. Now.
That guy doesn't get it. Get him off the show.
But yeah, great print. Yeah, let's hear something about it. This is a private commission, you said, or did you just say that, or did I just say that?
Yeah. It's private commission, so he does a lot of like commissions where people will ask for a certain theme or show or character. Mm. This one's obviously for Doctor Strange. Yeah. I think the main one that will go to the private, like to the commissioner, the private buyer, is the one with the things,
the spiral things. With the smoke, because the smoke looks so great.
That's so good. Right? That's all this is all pencil drawn. Yeah. Like,
incredible.
I think this one took 3 days. He usually spends a day on these, and they look incredible. And he said he went above and beyond with detail.
Details. If you've seen a full version on, it doesn't do it justice here. But if you see a high quality version, it's incredible. I hope he's going to do that as a print. It would sell out instantly. So I don't know. Whoever has a license, I guess. Who does Marvel, or who is?
Grey Matter.
What's that?
Grey Matter.
Grey Matter. Go contact this man. Do this. Looks so great.
Do this. But yeah, the alternative is the one with the circular, white space circular things as well. I think that's probably my favorite, just because it's so unusual.
I just want the flames. I'm just gonna order. I'm gonna commission him to just draw flames for me.
Flames and smoke.
Flames and smoke.
Just
yeah.
that could be it. Yeah. And then, he also, with that, he does...
The recursives, right?
The recursive drawings as well.
I don't know if those recursives are one-liners, because he has a series of just one-line paintings. He just starts and just draws one line.
I think these are one line with bio. Yeah,
exactly. And that's just incredible to me that one person can do that without, taking it off the sheet.
Yeah. I really want to give that a go. I think that would be quite interesting to do.
There you go. The madman Greg Babe Ruth did some lino cuts, which looked amazing. Did you see those the other day? He did for some samurai. Mm-hmm. He did some samurai, and he was like, because he's a big fan of Attack Peter, and he did some. He did some tried it out for himself, he didn't do it for in a while, and he did it. He posted it on his groups or on Instagram and stuff like that, and it looked pretty darn good. Now I want a Greg Ruth lino cut as well.
Awesome. No, I'm gonna have to check those out.
Yeah, check this out.
There's no end to his talent.
There's no end.
Baseball drawing, lino cut.
Yep. Amazing. That's right. Okay, this is it, people. We've talked for quite some time. I hope you enjoyed the time with us as well, talking about those beautiful prints that came out over the last couple of weeks. And we will be here in 2 weeks from now, and we'll see who will be on the podcast, because we haven't decided yet, because we haven't seen the releases yet. But we will keep you updated, and next time we will have a teaser again, because this week the talk went on for 3 hours, as I said, with Vince Kelly, so there wasn't a teaser yesterday. Okay, good people. Talk to you soon. Thanks, James, for coming on and talking about art with us, and take care. Bye.
Bye.